I'd like to tell you a story about me. It was a moment in our first pastorate, Troy, Pennsylvania. That's northwest of Williamsport. And there we were in a parsonage that was attached to the church. And so people would come sometimes directly from the church and walk into the parsonage. And that particular night, we had special meetings in the church, and we threw open the church doors, and we, both of us, being late and having to get cleaned up because we were dirty and working all day, we threw ourselves in the shower, threw the baby in the crib, and there we were, and the baby's starting to scream. He's screaming, Tim, about a year old, our oldest son, and he's screaming his head off. And I say, well, I got to get out of this shower quickly. And so I grab the towel and I open the door and run out the door with a smile on, and that's all. Maybe not even a smile when I saw that 13-year-old girl there at the top of the stairs. And I was so embarrassed. And I grabbed the towel and I threw it over me and I ran into the bathroom. And I didn't take care of Tim. I said, Naomi, Kathy just saw me out in the hall completely nude. You're going to have to talk to her. She said, she didn't see me nude, she saw you. You have to talk to her. Oh, brother. So I put my suit on and, well, took care of Tim, of course, after that. And went down to the church and I walked directly up to Kathy. And I said, Kathy, I don't know what you saw. I don't know why that phrase is a stupid phrase. Anyway, please don't come again into the house without, letting us know that you're here. And he screamed to the top of your voice or something, let us know. I'm here to help Tim. He's screaming. So anyway, that was the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me in my life. You know, there's something more embarrassing. You and I, we have the truth and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, a joy that cannot be compared to anybody, anything else in this world. And we keep it too many times to ourselves. That's much more embarrassing. Now, I know that most of you really trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I sometimes do not share Jesus. Sometimes I'm very selfish myself. And I've given my life to the Lord Jesus. And I've given 29 years in Colombia. And I want to learn to give more and not less. Because he is able. He's able to even use me. I'm going to talk about Zacchaeus this morning. Would you sing with me that chorus that we learned as children? Some of us anyway. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree to the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Would you turn to Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10? Luke 19, 1 through 10. And we're going to read the story of Zacchaeus. And the 3 points of this message, before we even begin, is relate, respond, receive. Relate, respond, receive. 3 R's, relate to God, respond to God, receive all that God has for you. And then we're going to turn that around and we're going to say, what does God do? He relates to people like Zacchaeus. He responds to their needs, like your needs. He receives joy. Did you know that Jesus died thinking about being with you forever and ever? He thought about the future joy he would have with you, he would receive. It said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He took my place. Said he could be with me, be with you forever. Those words are just too profound for me. Get to my heart very deeply. So our Lord Jesus is going to receive as well, not just give. Let me read for you from Zacchaeus. I don't think you've stood for a while. Would you stand for me with reading of God's word? This is to help you not fall asleep when I preach. There's always a method to the madness of missionaries. Chapter 19 of Luke, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of all of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, a man of faith. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Thank you. You may be seated. Remember the first point, relate. God relates to you. God is relating to you, relating to me, relating to people in Colombia right now. And he said that he came with this initiative. God takes the initiative always in relationships. He put us in families exactly where we're supposed to be because he knows what you need. He knows what I need. He put me in Colombia because he knew that I needed the Colombians. Sometimes we think that we missionaries go because the Colombians need us. Well, it's mutual. Let me tell you, I have learned so much from them, and I want to learn even more. And there is also interest on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaks to Zacchaeus. He says your name, his name, Zacchaeus, come down. I don't know if they introduced each other. "Hey, you up in the tree, what's your name?" I don't know. But anyway, the name is important. God knows you by name. He knows everything about you better than you know yourself. And he knows the Colombian people as well as more completely than anybody else. Some of the Colombian people are going through difficult times right now. They are going through financial crunches, many of them. Our church is having a financial crunch, and we're thinking of moving to be able to pay the bills. That's part of the situation there in Cali, Colombia right now. Also, some of our people are being threatened. One man told me a few months ago, "Yes, they came to my office the other day with four gunmen, asking me to pay up." He borrowed some money from somebody in the mafia and years ago, paying the consequences. Scared to death and paid a little bit and finally paid off the other day. Thank the Lord that he's out from under that threat. Others told me not too long ago, "Yes, Pastor, pray for me. I'm threatened. They're wanting to kill me if I continue working in that area and doing my job like I'm supposed to." What kind of people do you know that are being threatened on a regular basis, that are afraid of being kidnapped? We've had family members of the church kidnapped where we're working. It's part of life. Been robbed, been cheated. There has been unfaithfulness between families. Two ladies, one of them had the same husband. Well, not really. He was a lover. And they're both in the same church now. They both come to our church. And they've hugged each other. And they've said to each other, "Please forgive me for my bad feelings towards you, for my talking against you." God is making a difference in people's lives. And relating to people where they're at. Up in a tree, God is willing to relate to us where we are at. Let me tell the story of one particular man. I'm not sure how old Camilo was, but I saw Camilo in our conjunto, that means apartment complex. I saw him there sitting, reading books, like books about Hinduism, New Age. He read day in, day out, sitting there in that luxurious tropical paradise of Cali, near the swimming pool. And I'd say hi to him. How are you today, Camilo? And I knew him by name. And we'd talk a little bit, and we'd share. And one of my missionary colleagues gave him a book one day that talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. He read the book, and he said, wow, this is wonderful. He had never read anything like that in his life. And so the fellow missionary gave him another book, loaned him one, and he read that too, an avid reader. And our pastor, he started giving him books. He had books upon books upon books. And so this man, over years, was reading these Christian books by Max Lucado, by Chuck Swindoll, by others, in Spanish, of course, and just enjoyed and devoured these books. And he stopped reading about Hinduism. He stopped reading about the New Age. And he stopped reading all this other stuff. And he said, when we invited him to church, he said, I found the way. I found life. He started coming to the men's breakfast every Thursday. We enjoyed being with him because he would eat more food than anybody else. This little old man, he was short like Zacchaeus, I'm sure, and had a cane, and he walked everywhere. And he had a hunger like he walked everywhere, too. And I enjoyed Camilo. And he would have come off the wall. Some of his ideas were really off the wall, were crazy. And he'd say, yeah, we're going to all die and we're going to become spiders or crawly creepers or some kind of animal and we're going to be reincarnated. And I said, where does it say that in the Bible? And we had talks. Finally, it came time to invite him to discipleship. And so I spent time with him on a regular basis for discipleship and enjoyed that time. He did a lot of talking. I didn't get to do much talking, but I think it was enough. And he grew. Little by little he grew. And then he joined part of a prayer group. The prayer group was mothers praying for their children. He said, I'm not a mother, but I want to pray for my children. So this father, who was free at that time, he went to be with the mothers and he prayed for his children. The only man in the group. And they loved him. Those mothers were also praying for the children of Camilo. Camilo grew. Camilo understood. The last message he heard was about the resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth to raise up bodies, human bodies, flesh, and transform us. He will raise you up. Camilo heard this. His ears perked up. You mean my body is not going to be reincarnated? You mean my body is going to be like Jesus? Wow. Live forever with him. He said, this is just too great. This is wonderful. And he was so enthralled with the idea of the resurrected body. That was the last sermon he heard. That week as he was walking in the city of Cali, he fell over dead. What would have happened had missionaries not gone to Cali, Colombia? Would Camilo have heard? Somebody took the initiative to offer him a book, took interest, knew him by name, spent time with him, discipled him. What would have happened to Camilo Vargas had it not been for Jesus? Jesus living through people like you, people who pray for us, people who give. You are our team, and we have worked together. And sometimes our working together has been very good, and sometimes it hasn't been very good. We need more strength. We need more passion. We need to be relating to people on a regular basis. Maybe you're going through that struggle of not knowing, is Jesus for real? You see things very clearly, and you don't feel like you're short like Zacchaeus. He had problems. We see our shortcomings, so many of us. I've seen my shortcoming as a child when I drank poison, almost killed myself, when I was in a number of accidents, when I was timid. The pastor of the church said, boy, that little boy is so timid. He's afraid of his own shadow. Talking about me. And do you think I'm timid now? I think I still am. But the Lord is able to work with us. I have allergies. I have a sinus infection right now. I've had 4 sinus operations. I've had bronchitis I don't know how many times. My grammar in English is terrible. I've had a hard time in Spanish. I still feel like I could go back to school and learn more Spanish if I just had time to do that. Financial difficulties over the years. Separation from family. It's been hard to be separated from kids, from parents. It's been difficult to see our son live out in the streets and to do some things that are not godly. To see him wayward and not communicate with us for a couple of years. To see our son have epilepsy when he was a child. To see another son swallow a magnet and almost kill himself. Food poisoning a number of times. My life has been threatened here in the United States and overseas as well. Naomi had cancer just a couple of years ago. We've seen some shortcomings and difficulties and weaknesses with our granddaughter, like Naomi said, who has convulsions every 10 minutes or so. Depression. A few years ago, I was so busy in ministry. I was up like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, going to bed like 11 o'clock at night, not spending time with my wife, Naomi, or with my children. Just in the church 7 days a week, no days off. And I asked the pastor, Steph, please give me 3 days. I'm depressed. I don't feel like I can do it anymore. Just depending upon the flesh. I had no time for the scriptures. I was teaching the scriptures to everybody, but I didn't have time to be alone with God and hear his voice. And God spoke to me. I have plans for you, he said. Not to destroy you, plans to build you up and give you a future. Seek me. You will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. I demand that you do that. And then you will live. You will be freed from your captivity, from your depression, from your thoughts of what's the use. Yeah, our son without work, fears, the future. God is able. We are short in many areas. We are weak, you and I. We live in this world together. We don't see the perfect peace that we desire. We don't see the nation that we want exactly as we want it. Let me tell you, we won't see it in this lifetime. When we get to heaven, then we'll see perfection. We will see it. We will see it. The Lord Jesus related to that man, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a corrupt man. He was a despised man. The other people around him said, why, Jesus, going to this man's house? He does not deserve your forgiveness. He doesn't deserve your presence. How many of us have thought that others don't deserve? There was a response. One responded gladly, Zacchaeus, come to my house. Yes, Lord Jesus, great, wonderful. And others said, why in the world is he going to that man's house? One of the men that I work with in Colombia, Andres, said to me when I told him the story about Javier, maybe some of you remember the story of Javier. He was the assassin that killed over 50 people, and he had ordered that his own brother be killed as well. Well, I told briefly this story to Andres, who was attending the group at that time. And he said, I just can't accept that. That God could forgive an assassin? I don't agree with God. I don't agree. And basically, Andres just fell away from the group. Sometimes we don't see things as God sees them. And sometimes we need to repent like Zacchaeus did. Many times. I found out that repenting is part of that response to God. We repent like Zacchaeus. If I have done wrong, Lord, I will repay. To the poor I'll give half of all I own. And 4 times If I have wronged somebody, I will repay them. Four times. I don't know any of us that are that generous. God did a work in Zacchaeus. A wonderful, marvelous, exciting work. And we see a lot of corrupt people in our world. In Colombia, it's a country that's known for corruption. And we pray about that. Things that we pray about is unbelief, corruption, violence, and kidnapping. Those are the things that we pray about. Of course, we pray for our pastor, Joaquin, greatly. What is your response to God? That's the real question. That's the one that counts today. What you hear from me is not that important. What you hear from God is important. Respond to His voice, I beg of you. When He said to Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today. What was He saying? It's a life and death situation. I know that it's vital for you, for me to be with you. You can't live without me. He doesn't say those words exactly. But that's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to every person at the Norwin Alliance Church as well. And all of your family and all of your neighbors. And all of my neighbors as well. It comes down to a life and death decision. Will we respond to Jesus as He wants us to? Will we repent? Repentance is like breathing. You receive the good oxygen and you breathe out. You exhale the air that is not good for you. It's contaminated. And if we just keep that contaminated air inside, we will die. And if you keep sin in our lives without repenting on a regular basis, how many times do I have to repent a day? I don't know. But it's plenty. And you call me a missionary. I too am a sinner. I too have to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of those people that did respond to the Lord Jesus Christ were like Germán Oviedo. Germán was a man who had a brothel. He sold cars. He was involved in some illegal issues. I'm not sure if it was a drug related or not. Anyway, somebody was mad at him, threw a grenade in his car when his window was down and blew off one of his legs, and his other leg was hurt badly. Today, he has a false leg, and he still has problems with it. He has sold his brothel. He has decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That violence caused him to humble himself and seek the Lord. And Germán has changed. And yet he still has a problem believing God for his finances. My taxes are so high, and the tax people are after me all the time. And they're trying to put a deeper charge on me and charge me more than they should. Millions and millions of pesos. And I've got to do this, talk to this lawyer. I owe money on this building and this building. And I've got these properties that I bought over the years, but I can't sell them. Nobody's buying these days. He is frustrated. He calls on the telephone and he asks for prayer. Pastor, would you come? We'll have fasting and prayer. I've spent half of a day with him, fasting and prayer, three times or more. And he calls the pastor of the church as well, Joaquin, and the wife of the pastor. And they talk and they share and they pray together. He's a man that needs encouragement. He needs to continue to respond. He needs to say, Lord, help me. But he's faithful. He's transparent. He tells him, today I yelled at my wife. I raised my voice. I was not very good in correcting my children. He tells us exactly what he's doing. And I know with that transparency, God is going to hear his voice. Yes, we need to respond to God as Germán did and as he is responding. He is one of the leaders of the church, but he still has lots of problems. But he's growing. He's growing. And the last point, after relate, receive that relationship with God and respond to God, receive. Receive all that God has for you. And as Zacchaeus received him in his house, and it cost him half of his possessions. It cost him four times whatever he owed somebody else. When you repent, when you repay, is it notable to others around you? Do they see that there's a new person in you? Do they notice it in your house? My wife sometimes has that problem with me. I get impatient with her. I'm not going to ask how many guys have problems with patience with their wives. But that's one of those things I have to work on. We need to come to that place of receiving all the power of God for us during our time. It cost Ramiro, the doctor who has come to our church, a young man that now is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, just baptized just a few months ago. It cost him his reputation. He's now a Christian. And there where he was working, he got fired. Nope, you can't work here anymore. Medical doctor, because you're a Christian. Flat out. And he lost his place of business as well. He cannot work there anymore. He had an office, and they took the office away from him. Does it cost to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, it cost. Yes, it cost. And one particular person who was very stubborn, very arrogant, his name was Juan. Magi was a faithful Christian, a vibrant Christian, and she complained about her husband. Juan, he just mocks me. He laughs at me. He says, "You're a fool for trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. I go to church with you. I hear them singing. Do you really believe what they're teaching? Do you believe that Bible? That's mess." And Magi, for years, kept asking us, "It's hard for me to live with this man. It's hard." And she came to the point, "I'm disgusted. I can't stand it anymore. I want a divorce." And we, the pastoral team, said, "Magi, stick it out. God is able. Trust him. Trust him." We were having troubles with Juan. He would come to the meetings faithfully. He was there. And in the small groups, he would talk. And he would talk about the New Age and how that he was in disagreement with the scriptures. And he put a kibosh, threw a monkey wrench into any discussion. The new Christians were discouraged hearing him talk. The unbelievers, I think it affected some of the unbelievers as well. And we got tired, us missionaries and pastoral team, we got tired of seeing him disrupt those new people. And we said, "We've got to do something." And this is after years, years of discipleship, trying and trying and trying in couples, groups, and so forth. So the pastoral team decided, "Okay, we'll accept Doug. You take care of him one-on-one." So while the rest of the group was in discipleship in another part of the church, I'm in a classroom all by myself with Juan. And we're reading James, the book of James, word by word. And we stop after a few verses, and we pray. We didn't have any discipleship materials except the Bible. James, to the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so forth. And prayed. We prayed for his family. We prayed for his financial situation. We prayed about many things. This engineer, very intelligent, very well-respected in his profession as well, and having high positions, now retired, he was starting to crumble in his arrogance. And he was starting to believe, "You're praying for my children that I don't even talk to?" He was divorced. And he changed. We spent time one-on-one reading the Word, praying, reading the Word and praying. That's all. And God did it. God did it. I don't know how. I don't know when exactly. But he became vibrant. He became a man that was smiling. He began to talk about Jesus as if he knew Jesus, instead of condemning those who believed him. Juan Sines was transformed. We had the privilege to baptize him, but after they found out that he had pancreatic cancer. A few months after he began his Christian walk, he died of cancer. His wife thought we would be together, that she and he would be together in ministry, but that didn't happen. She believed that God was going to raise him up, but that didn't happen. She became discouraged after his death. But through it all, God has been honored. His children, some of them now are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. They had no idea that Jesus was able to do that. Now his ex-wife is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, because Maggie shared the gospel with them. Things have changed in that life. And sometimes through death, God brings life for those who trust him. It's a matter of life and death for the people in Colombia, for you, for all of our neighbors. Let's not just say we believe it. Let's believe it and share it. Let's not be ashamed when we come before the Lord Jesus Christ. Doug, hear that sermon. Talk to people about Jesus. You know, we can talk about being missionaries. We can talk about sharing the word. But when it comes right down to it, it's each individual's responsibility to relate to God, to respond to God, to receive all. You know what the problem is with most of us Christians? Is we don't receive all that God wants us to receive from him. We're holding on to something else, and that prohibits him from giving us all that he wants. Because God seeks the lost, I invite you to seek the lost too. Because God is able to cause people to respond, I ask you to respond to him so that he could use you. Because God is able to receive people in his presence forever and ever by his grace and his forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, I ask you to receive power, to be involved in missions, to love the people in your own life, to love the people even around the world, giving financially, praying, going. We invite you to come visit us in Colombia. But also, go to the ends of the earth like these ladies did, going to Mexico. May God bless you. Let's pray. God, you relate to us so well. Please forgive us, Lord, for not seeing you as powerful and as loving and as deserving of our praise as you should be. We pray and we beg of you, O God, change our opinion of you, our thoughts of you. Lord, we have always thought less of you than what you are. Every single one of us have not seen you as the high and almighty God lifted up and all-powerful, deserving of praise. We have limited knowledge of you, O God. We have limited desire to serve you, O God. We have limited faith. We are limited, O God, in stature and our Christian maturity. We tend to be selfish still. And I pray that you would forgive us. Please, dear God, forgive us and change us. Preach the word to me, O God. Preach the word to all of us. You are faithful. You are loving. You are better than we can imagine. And the world needs you more than we can imagine. Help us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.